Hey, this is Elizabeth.
This is Keisha.
Hi, this is Leslie Sullivan, and welcome to the Mustard Seed Podcast.
Welcome back to our table, which I guess at this point is pretty much going to be the phrase that I open up everything with. Because that's what it is. I want you guys to feel like you're sitting here with us, whether that's sitting in the living room, or I listen to podcasts when I walk. So I'm never sitting when I listen to podcasts. I feel like I pay better attention if I'm moving, you know, if I'm in the car, if I'm walking or running or whatever. That's when I'm listening to them. Because if I'm listening to them at my desk when I'm working, I'm only half listening, and I feel like I'm not doing anything justice. But today we are kind of extending our Women of the Bible or walkthrough, talking about the women as they appear. So we are still in Genesis, and we are going to touch on Rebecca. So Rebecca shows up for the first time in Genesis 24. So she is the chosen wife of Isaac. So, you know, we talked about Eve. We talked about Sarah. We talked about Hagar. Now we're on to Rebecca.
You know, like the others, they were already there, you know? Mm-hmm. With Rebecca, we really get the first impression.
Yeah.
So.
Though I did feel like finding stuff on Rebecca felt like finding stuff on Eve, where it was not as easy as I thought it was going to be. Like, Sarah just came to me. Like, Sarah was just fluid. I had pages. I was like, man, this woman, look at all this. Look at how faithful she was. Look at how she was just steadfast, how she persevered, how she listened to God, and how God just blessed her, you know, in the end. And God, you know, and then Hagar, like, look at this, like, look at all everything she went through. And, you know, and Rebecca, I'm like, here's Rebecca. Okay.
Yeah, I think the hard part is that there's not a ton on Rebecca out there.
No, there's not. And I mean, she's the mother of Israel. You would think she might have a little bit more to say, or a little bit more like about her.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think it's also that she was okay being back. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I
do feel her that way.
She didn't need to be the forefront.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
It does. She was kind of in the background. She had a lot to do with how things turned out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I never get the sense in these chapters that she needed to be center of attention.
No.
Yeah. So. But she knew when to stand up and when not to. I mean, like, that kind of stuff. But
yeah.
But I feel like she just knew. I don't know I don't want to say it this and have it come out the wrong way, but she knew her place or her position or what the Lord was calling her to do. Maybe. I don't, you know, I hope that makes some sense, but.
Oh, it does.
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
I thought too, you know, after, you know, she's meeting the servant at the well, you know, and he's, you know, then he's, they go back to her camp, and, you know, and he's explaining, well, I told God to have this woman do this, this, and this, and then I would know. Like, how would that have felt to know that God was in it all, you know?
Yeah. And God chose you.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, God had, her actions were literally God driven.
Yeah.
Well, and maybe that's where I think she knew. She knew her place, but she didn't need to stand out to do it.
Right.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. She could still work and do the things that she was called to do from a quieter position or a quiet, I don't know if quiet's even the right word, but you know what I mean? Like yeah.
that.
So I think showing her having those actions, you know, that knowing they were God driven, knowing that she did exactly what God wanted her to do to show the servant that she was who he intended for Isaac, that shows an amazing act of obedience on mm-hmm. her end. Whether or not it was completely, she knew it, whether or not anything, like that is, that's obedience.
Yeah. And when it came down to it, you know, when they were like, well, I want her to go with me, the servant said to mm-hmm. her family, and they're like, well, let's wait. And he's like, no, we really need to go. Then they're like, well, let's ask her. And she's like, no, let's go. Yeah. This is what God wants me to do. Let's just do it. And you got to think, you know, this isn't when you're like, oh, I'll just jump on a plane and hop over yeah. and say hi to you later. See you at least once a year. No, you're never going to see your family again.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I think they say it was like 500 miles or something like that that he had to travel. So you're looking at a good month, 2 months of travel. And that's if everything's going great.
Yeah,
I was just saying that's if all weather and plant and transportation modes go.
Mm-hmm.
The camels aren't going to say, nope, not moving today.
All set. Well, you were talking about early, you know, you talked about how much she gave the camels for her to actually be, again, a servant, to do her, uh-huh. to be obedient, to be humble to this man.
Stranger.
Yeah.
Complete stranger. She didn't know who he was, where he came from.
You know, and I read that camels can drink up to 25 gallons per camel.
And there were 10.
And there was 10 of them.
And I bet they were thirsty.
Yeah. And she did it until they were no longer thirsty. So yeah. that's a lot of gallons that she provided. Like, that's a lot of time.
Yeah. So I guess she was ready for that big trek back.
Yeah.
To meet Isaac. But yeah, that she had to be a strong gal.
Yeah. Her upper body must have been just like on point. Yeah. But it shows.
I think to be a woman back then, you had to be pretty strong.
Yeah. No, for sure. They did.
A lot more than we do.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I know. That just, you know, that showed her kindness because she was making sure that everybody else was taken care of. It shows her obedience. Her grace, you know, and like you said, her strength, that shows just what kind of woman she was. She had the attributes of a, you know, godly wife.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think it shows just how God had his hand in everything.
Mm-hmm.
To Abraham not wanting Isaac to have a Canaanite wife. To him sending his servant out to his brother. To the servant's prayer of, hey, you know, if it's the right woman, let her do A, B, and C. And before he even stopped praying, there she was.
Yep.
And then her readiness to do so. God had prepared her beforehand.
She's like an excellent example of the Proverbs 31 woman in this moment, like in these moments.
Yeah.
So when she first comes out, it's not, you know, she's showing all the attributes of, you know, what God kind of, how God wants us to be.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't say that she was complaining, like, I'm sorry, your camels are still thirsty. Like, do you know how many of these I've done? Are you're just going to sit there and you're not going to help me?
That would be me. Like, really? You're just going to sit there?
Yeah.
I got this and this and this to do. I don't just have time to feed your camels.
Exactly. Are you enjoying the view? Like, jeez. like you said, like just like her mother-in-law, she packed up her life. Mm-hmm. She didn't, like, her family was like, oh no, she can stay here for a little bit and then we'll send her on. But she packed up her life because God, that's what she had just seen, that God was already doing what, like, through her, what he had, you know, she saw the plan.
Yeah.
You know, and she was like, this is God's will. This is what we're doing. Love you. Bye.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, and little did she know what God was going to do through her offspring, like through Jacob, you know, because it was through her, through him. Then you have the 12 tribes.
Yep.
You have like the core.
Yeah. Because it doesn't talk about Isaac taking on another wife. Mm-mm. It's only Rebecca. Mm-hmm. You know, Abraham had the two wives, you know. Yep. Jacob's going to have multiple mm-hmm. wives, but Isaac, it only talks about Rebecca.
Yep. Though Isaac does follow in his father's footsteps, kind of like how Sarah was following. I mean, so how Rebecca was following in her mother-in-law's footsteps a little bit, but Isaac said that, you know, Rebecca was his sister too. In 26, yeah. It was in the verses 7 through 11, in chapter 26, 7 through 11, he talks about that. You know, it's like, really? Really, dude? Did your parents not maybe have a conversation with you about how that might not be your best?
Like, hey, it worked for them. Let me try it.
Right, yeah.
But, you know, I would say that this might be like the first love at first sight.
Yeah, yeah.
Because when Isaac saw her, you know, he was, well, I love you.
Yeah, yeah.
But then, you know, it's that what's the word I'm trying to say?
Preservation.
Thank you. That wasn't coming out. But, you know, with the, well, I don't want someone to kill me to get to her. So we just say that she's my sister.
Yep. And I have here, you know, that it was like they were married for about 20 years before she became pregnant. So it wasn't like a immediate thing.
Yeah.
You know, and even so, you know, the way that he kind of came to God about this, you know, about, you know, Rebecca, Isaac, it says in verse 21 of this chapter, still chapter 25, he goes, Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was childless. You know, Abraham never did that. Mm-hmm. Abraham never went to the Lord on behalf of Sarah. You know, mm-hmm. Isaac, it just feels to me like it shows his love for her.
Yeah.
That he is going to God on her behalf. You know, you don't see her saying, God, why? Lord, why haven't you done this? Why am I still here? Why is this? It's Isaac's like, you know, Isaac took it into his responsibility to go to God and ask.
Yeah.
Feel like that kind of just spoke volumes. It's a very little thing and it's a very little verse, you know. And when you find, it's the same things when I found, like when I was studying Sarah, it's little things that just kind of come out
mm-hmm.
that you didn't really notice before, but that just that, like just that verse just speaks volumes on, I feel like, how their marriage was. And it does. It tributes to the fact that, again, that you, like you guys mentioned, that she just wanted to be in the background. She wasn't, almost like she wasn't a main character in her own story.
Yeah. Well, you know, even when you're, you know, you go back and you talk about when they were in Egypt. It was mm-hmm. Egypt, right? Is mm-hmm. that where they were?
I feel like it's always Egypt.
I'm not sure. But it was the where he lied about.
Yeah, yeah.
Her being his sister, well, the leader, he knew that she was it his sister because he saw how they interacted with each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's Egypt.
Yeah.
So again, that kind of speaks of how their relationship was because, mm-hmm. you know, you have that little moments with your spouse that connection that, mm-hmm. you know, is just between you, but others can see it.
So as we know, Rebecca ended up becoming pregnant. She with twins with Jacob and Esau. And if we're going to, we can, you know, I have it to where, you know, you're fast forwarding a little bit. So when Esau, it says was 40 years old, he took as his wives, Judith, daughter of Beeri the Hethite and Basemath, and I'm sure, please forgive my pronunciation.
There's no judgment yeah. on pronunciation.
The daughter of Elon the Hethite, and they made life bitter for Isaac and Rebekah. You know, so basically the Hethites were Canaanites. So, yeah. you know, and then you have, this is something then, is this why Rebekah was like, Jacob, why don't you take the birthright? Why don't you go over here and you can take this because Esau's wives are terrible.
Well, they weren't following the path that was put before any of them.
Right. Yeah.
And he chose lust and maybe a little bit of love, but a lot of lust probably.
Yeah.
Over maybe what dad had said to him or someone else, you know, even mom had said to him.
Yeah.
And Jacob became the favored.
And that's the time that you see Rebekah really take the.
That's where
she takes the stand. Sorry. Yeah, no, you're fine. This is where she takes it. That's where she has the spotlight.
Yeah,
she actually is. This matters to me.
Yeah, well, she could probably see that. You know, down here was talking about Esau sells his birthright. I mean, he gave Jacob his birthright because he was hungry. You know, so it wasn't something that he put a lot of oomph into.
Right.
You know, he wasn't willing to really take the responsibility of that birthright either, it doesn't mm-hmm. seem.
I don't think he understood the gravity of the birthright, quite honestly, or that he cared about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's my interpretation. He liked being an outdoorsman. He liked being doing this. He liked doing all the crazy things. But he didn't seem like he didn't want the responsibility. I feel like he's that crazy bachelor who at age 40 still lives in his mom's basement kind of guy. You know, like he just wants to live a fast life and not worry about responsibility. And so that's why it was pretty easy. Oh, I'm hungry. Here you go. You can have it. I don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Rebekah saw that in her son, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, whichever you look at that.
Right.
And that's why she probably not the best ways, but she pushed her son Jacob to seek and to do it and to maybe not go about it the right way. Yes, but
yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
And you know, you got to kind of think, you know, as a mom, it's hard to raise your children up, but then you have twin boys who are constantly at war with each other.
Yeah.
You know, even when they were in the wound.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the worst time is when my two boys are fighting with each other. It's like, and that's when the beast comes out of me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But she did. She definitely took it into her own hands to get Jacob to receive the birthright and the blessings from Isaac. And she did a lot of trickery.
She did.
Oh, hands down.
Yep.
That's why, I mean, so the one thing I did find that it says, even though Rebekah was a great woman of kindness, loyalty, faith, and courage, it's also recorded that she was a woman who made great mistakes because she plotted against her husband with the intention of stealing the blessing meant for their oldest son, technically, even though they're twins, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So she was a woman who was faithful, loyal, it had a lot of courage to fight the water things and to do the, you know, to fight the people in Abimelech and all that stuff. But she also then said, oh, I'm gonna move this plan where I want it to be, where I think it should be. And again, it goes back to even what we were talking about when we talked about James in one of our other podcasts, like, oh, I'm gonna discern this for now. This is what I want to do. I hope you bless it, Lord.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he did, because obviously his plan was bigger than Rebecca, yeah. Bigger than Jacob and Esau.
Right.
You know, I mean, things like that. It is. But it is where sometimes when we take that into our own hands, we don't necessarily do the things we've done before that, like the loyalty and the courage and that stuff. She still is loyal and courageous, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit of that selfishness creeps in.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And like you say, God did take her mistakes that she made. And made it good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it went the way it was supposed to go, but.
Yeah.
It's always, God will bless you wherever you are. Like, I don't ever feel like he puts you into situations, but he can help you. He will work in every situation.
Completely. Completely. Yep.
I think, too, I didn't, you know, that some of Esau's lack of, what the word I'm looking for, but the seriousness, like he didn't understand the gravity of his situation was because of his surroundings. Mm-hmm. Like if he's hanging out with all the Canaanites and they don't serve the same God, they don't have the same traditions. You know, his wives are like, well, whatever. I don't like, what do you like? You're still going to inherit something. Like, what does a birthright mean? You know, because they didn't have that. That wasn't part of their culture.
Yeah.
So it shows that he submersed himself in a different culture. And he was kind of going away from the God of his father.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, and then I think it's courageous and scary all at the same time, you know, because Rebecca then sent Jacob away like, hey, you need to go find a wife that is like minded, you know, you know, equally yoked
and get away from your brother
and get away from your brother because he might kill you. You know,
makes you wonder,
I mean,
there's
that part.
There's that. That might be my fault, too. So maybe you should go.
You might have had a hand in that. I have too. So let's send you away.
Yeah.
Help you find that one wife. But you can have two. It's okay.
That makes you think, what was her thought process when, like, she saw that Esau became so upset and she heard him say, you know, once I bury my father, I will kill my brother. You know, and she's like, uh-oh. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Time to take care of that issue.
But I guess at the same time, you know, she kind of had to, I guess, weep what she sowed, because she sent Jacob away, but she never got to see Jacob again.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't, when he comes back, it never mentions her.
No.
Well, and it definitely probably wasn't her perfect ending, because she loved Jacob so much, but it's also just almost the reality of the situation. To save and keep her son alive, she had to say, "I go."
Yeah.
Go. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's that courageous. We're back to the courageous part, even mm-hmm. though the way to get to that courage, not necessarily the best path, but she did finally just say, okay, I've got to protect what God has blessed now with this stuff.
And yeah.
Send away the one that I would rather have at home.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's, you know, she sends him, she saves him, and she still stays.
Yeah.
It's not like, hey, I'm going to go with you. It's a, nope, Isaac's here. I'm here. This is where God has us. This is where our story is still, you know, and so she sends him to her people, you know, she sends him away, but yet she's still faithful and obedient and courageous enough to stay.
Yeah.
I might have gone with him.
Yeah. Well, you got to think. I mean, Esau had to know that she had a part in it.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, when one parent favors the other parent, the other child, you know? And even though, you know, Isaac favored him, it still had to hurt a little bit.
It does. Yeah. Yeah.
Unless he just didn't care.
I'm positive it hurt.
Yeah. It's your mom. You know, that's your mom.
I like to think maybe while Jacob was away, her and Esau's relationship got better.
That's pretty much possible. Yeah, it's possible, but that's pretty much the last you hear of her is right at the end where she sends him away. I don't believe. I look, there's nothing else. Mm-mm.
No.
And you know, when Jacob.
That's why she's that obscure, quiet. Mm-hmm. Woman, yeah. Except for that one big, like that. I mean, obviously the water thing, but the big glary moment is helping him to put the hair and the skin, you know, do all. I mean, and really helping him in that plot.
Yeah.
To get the blessing.
Yeah.
Because that's what you remember the most of her. Mm-hmm. Like when you think about her, you remember that's what she did. She did. And it's interesting. And that's why I wanted to do this, you know, going through the women of the Bible, just to look at their lives, to see what they've done, to see how God used them, regardless of where they were, what they thought, you know, how prominent, how quiet, how, you know, they, regardless of where they were, God used them. Mm-hmm. And especially when women are mentioned in the Old Testament and in the New Testament as well, but in the Bible at all by male writers, it's just it's important. If their names are mentioned, it's important.
Well, we forget how much Jesus, well, and God elevate women, as opposed to the culture that was going on at that time. We're doing this Bible study. I don't remember it exactly, but it's 12 extraordinary women. Mm-hmm. It's by John MacArthur. We just started it. I just started reading. We start with Eve this week and stuff like that. The introduction just talks about how, you know, that the Lord values both male and female, Adam, Eve, all that kind of stuff, because of how there's always a strong female in literally just about every story.
Yeah.
Or every context or every moment. And it's never, they never get dismissed per se. They might get dismissed by like an Abimelech, but not by, you know, Isaac or things like that. They get dismissed by the culture that would dismiss the women, but not by the ones that got. So I just think it's always interesting to think about that. How high in esteem God puts us. Right next to men. There's not a division there.
No, we were called to be their partners.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Even though in 1 Peter he said we were weaker. He goes, you know, he talks about the husbands and the wives, and he goes, husbands, you know, something about your wife, and then he goes, even though they're weaker than you. And I'm like, really, Peter? Really? You're gonna go there in the Bible?
I think it's just a strength moment, literally. I don't think it's a
I know. Steve was very good about it.
My head goes all the time. I don't know if that's actually what he meant. I'm just saying that's where my head goes.
That's probably a good spot, because I was just like,
turd.
Yeah, right. Like, Peter, I really liked you, but now I don't know. You're kind of moving up. Just kidding. You were great in Acts, but your own books, I don't like you. No, well, on the next time that we go through the women in the Bible, we'll go to Leah, followed closely behind by Rachel, but we'll do it as two separate, even though, because I feel like they need to have their own, they need each have their own say.
Poor Leah.
I know. Gosh.
Miss sad eyes.
I know. Yeah. Her weak eyes. Yeah. Oh, yep. So that'll be fun. So, well, thanks for joining us during our little talk on Rebecca. We will see you guys soon.